Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Condolences to the Chiefs Kingdom. Tough one. But I've got a really good friend who's a diehard Chiefs fan. We were texting throughout, and he says, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe now that, you know, everyone won't be gunning for him quite so much. Maybe it's a good thing. So, but, you know, you never know. Next week, you know, who knows? Maybe they get it turned around. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Happy to have you with us this evening. Here at your liberal resistance headquarters, where, of course, we proudly champion the conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. These preempted shorter shows give me a lot of opportunities to carry on conversations and take calls. So we're going to do that tonight. We'll take a lot of calls if we can. Pleased to have you with us tonight. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach me at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. Next week, fortunately, the Chiefs are the early game, so should have a regular show next Sunday. So looking forward to being back to our regular broadcast time. Also going to be filling in the week prior to Thanksgiving, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'll be filling in for Steve McIntosh, who's taking some days off. So I'll be on the morning show that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So make sure to listen to Steve and Ted in the morning, at least that few days. It'll be
John and Ted.
Yeah, John and Ted in the morning. And make sure you catch my carry-on commentaries. That's our 60-day feature, hosted by me. You can hear those Monday through Friday, three times a day, right here on KNSS. Tonight, we do have a, although abbreviated show, we still got a great program for you. I'm going to talk with Danielle Underwood from Kansans for Life about what they're hoping to accomplish now that we've got a supermajority. We're actually going to talk the same kind of conversation with Elizabeth Patton from Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Both of those organizations are key partners in the fight for conservative values, for our traditional values. They were both active in this last election cycle. Now that we've got this legislative supermajority, what are we going to do with it? I'm going to ask both of them those questions here coming up a little bit later in the show. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. If you missed our show last week, had a great conversation with County Commissioner Jim Howell and Wichita City Council member Dalton Glasscock, and we talked about spending, because if you haven't noticed, there's a sad trend going on. Both the Sedgwick County government and the City of Wichita government are running deficits. The City of Wichita is facing, according to most recent estimates, a $5 million budget shortfall in the 25-26 budgets. And yet they just keep spending. Dalton was with us last Sunday, and he shared the story that has come up about the two porta-potties. These are these unique, I don't know how unique they are, but they're metal prefab porta-potties that have been used in all the liberal cities, you know, Portland and Seattle, Minneapolis, these liberal meccas where the, you know, these mostly peaceful protests. And so they need, the protesters, I guess, need to have a place to do their business. And so they're bringing in these porta-potties. Now, Wichita, apparently, some on the city council, the liberals, the Democrats, think that we need them here. You can buy these if you go to the company who manufactures them. You can buy them for $150,000. Of course, we're paying $250,000 each for these two portable restroom facilities. I almost got myself saying the other word like I did last week. And we found out late last week that the actual cost is now $30,000 per potty more. So it's actually $280,000 per potty. It's like the Pentagon selling hammers for $1,500 a piece. And this is what frustrates me. Because if you've been paying attention, if you've been looking at your local school board meetings, your local town hall budgets, the city council, the county commission budgets, look at USD 259. They want $450 million. And yet the most recent enrollment figures show they're down 1,500 students, but they still want $450 million. Spending is out of control at the local level, and it's only getting worse. Our elected officials, some elected officials at every level, are treating our tax dollars like they're some kind of endless piggy bank, and we, the taxpayers, are stuck holding the bill. And frankly, I'm getting tired of it. I want to take a step back and ask a very simple question. When did it become acceptable to run our government like a credit card company, handing out unlimited lines of credit to politicians with no accountability? The spending has gotten so bad, so unchecked, that local governments are starting to behave just like the federal government, with reckless abandon, racking up debt. And then when the debt comes due, in the case of city and county governance, they just, revenue neutral. They just raise the property taxes. We've seen our cities and our counties run up debt, increase taxes, and pile up unfunded liabilities with absolutely no regard for the financial security of future generations, or the fact that a large portion of their citizens are on fixed incomes. Either they're poor, or they're retired. They're taxing people out of their homes, and they don't give a damn. If we don't do something about it soon, we're going to face a financial reckoning that will make the 2008 crisis look like a blip on the radar. We need fiscal responsibility, and we need it immediately. We need to demand that our local governments, our state governments, and yet our federal government as well, start living within their means. We do not have a revenue problem at any of these levels. We have a spending problem. And I know there are elected officials, including Republicans, who think, we need these things. No, you don't need them. You want them. And the only way to stop this insanity, stop the madness, is to start it with cutting unnecessary spending, like $500,000. In unnecessary spending, $500,000 in porta potties. Now, let's be clear. This isn't about making life harder for the average citizen. It's about making life better. It's about letting you be responsible for your spending instead of government. It's about ensuring that our hard-earned tax dollars are used effectively and efficiently. And if that means trimming the fat, cutting bloated bureaucracies and reining in wasteful programs, then so be it. If that means that maybe we don't get $500,000 gilded chitters, then that's what it means. We cannot continue down this path of unsustainable spending without consequences. I want to quote one of the greatest champions of fiscal responsibility we've ever had in this country, President Ronald Reagan. Reagan understood more than most the importance of balancing the budget, cutting taxes, and reducing government interference in the lives of ordinary Americans. He famously said, "Government's first duty is to protect the people, not run their lives." And if you think about that, the first duty of government is not to grow itself, not to bloat its budget, but to protect the people. And I get that there are some who say, we need this, but do we really? I had a conversation with a Wichita City Council member today when I asked about the porta potties. And this city council member said, there are businesses in that area who say they need that. I get that. But there are a lot of citizens and businesses who aren't in that area who don't need that, who don't want their tax dollars going toward it. So why do the rights and the needs of the few always outweigh the needs of the many? There's a Star Trek quote for you. And the way to protect the people is by ensuring they can keep more of their own money, by reducing the tax burden, and by keeping spending in check. I mean, you're already getting ready to put in paid parking downtown. Now we're going to spend a bunch of money on porta potties. But when you've got local governments handing out grants, funding pet projects, and inflating their budgets with bureaucracy, it's clear that some people in power think their job is to grow the government, not shrink it, not to streamline it, but to make it bigger. And mark my words, I'm not talking about Mayor Lily Wu or Councilmember Dalton Glasscock. They are fiscal champions. But there are others on that city council that really need to take a hard look at themselves. Reagan warned us about this back in the 80s. He said the problem is not that people are taxed too little. The problem is that government spends too much. And boy, was he right. Local governments are no different. In fact, in many cases, they're worse. They're addicted to spending, particularly school districts, particularly districts like USD 259 that want $500 million to build a bunch of buildings and close a bunch of schools. And we all know it's not going to improve outcomes or achievement. And I don't mean spending on essential services or infrastructure. I'm talking about wasteful projects, bloated departments, and excessive regulation. I tell you, folks, it doesn't have to be this way. There are common sense solutions to this problem, and it starts with looking at how every dollar is being spent. Cutting spending doesn't mean gutting essential services. It doesn't mean putting people out of their homes. It means helping people stay in their homes. It means prioritizing. It means asking the tough questions and taking the tough votes, something some politicians are afraid to do. Do we really need to hire another layer of bureaucrats to oversee a parks department? Do we really need $500,000 in porta potties? Do we really need to spend millions on a study that's just going to sit on a shelf or collect dust? Or could that money be better used to fix a pothole on your street or fund a local school program that actually benefits kids? Reagan also famously said the best minds are not in government. If any were, business would hire them away. That's true, more true today than it ever was. So we have to hold them accountable. A government that's big enough to give you everything you want is big enough to take everything you have. Sad but true. We're getting closer to that point every day. And if we don't take a stand and start cutting the waste, we're going to find ourselves with less and less freedom, fewer resources, and a government more in control of our lives. So to everyone out there listening, it's time to get serious about fiscal responsibility. We need to demand that our local governments cut the waste, prioritize spending on what matters, and live within their means. We need to stop letting them get away with it and hold them accountable for their irresponsible spending. That's what matters. We'll take a quick break and then we'll take your calls. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show, 869-1330. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. If you happen to miss a portion of any of our shows, don't worry about it. We got you covered. We post clips from all our shows, single episodes, single sections of, like, you know, particular segments, as well as the entire show as one audio file. There's lots to choose from. Just download the Always Live free Odyssey app to get started. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. I know we had a caller who dropped off, so if you want to call back, you can. Would love to take some calls. I did see one story was kind of interesting. This is, I don't know if you happened to see. I mean, you know, some of the stuff, I don't mean to be me. I don't mean to laugh or mock, but this is crazy. This is a Hawaii middle school is under fire after teachers created and then distributed election materials that were pro Kamala Harris and anti Donald Trump. This was the week of the election. I don't know if you saw this story, Phil, but
I don't think so. So enlighten me.
So teachers at I'm going to try this. So Capoli, so K-A-P-O-L-E-I, so Kapolea maybe? Kapolea, middle school.
Your Hawaiian is brilliant.
Yeah, Melakalikimaka. Okay. There you go. Gave their student, middle school students, like this is appropriate at any rate, but gave their middle school students a two-page document that was handed out to students in which stances of each president and presidential candidates were simplified. The handouts addressed six hot-button issues. This according to Hawaii News Now First. Parents, however, were rather upset when the kids started bringing home the flyers. For example, on the issue of immigration, the pamphlet said that Kamala Harris was tough on the border and intended to hire more Border Patrol agents. Trump, on the other hand, was described as wanting to take children away from their parents. Right.
Oh,
see the difference here. Yeah, yeah, tough on the border. Yeah. Sure she was. Mm. And it goes through. If you look at this, I mean, and I've looked at the flyer. It's pretty ridiculous. It points out things like Harris believes in tax. Oh, here's a good one. Harris believes in cutting in income tax on tips.
That sounds oddly familiar.
Yeah, they didn't bring that up for Trump, though. They didn't point that, even though that was his idea, they didn't list that as his. They listed he supported tariffs on goods that would result in increased prices. So, right. Mm-hmm. And this is in middle school. So, granted, they're not advocating to voters, but are they trying to maybe get the kids to then go home and tell mommy and daddy who they should vote for? I mean, but again, why is this teacher doing this and trying to then, but this, she's probably, the teacher now has probably shaved her head and said she won't have sex for 4 years. So who knows?
But take it one step further. You've got this teacher in this middle school who, children at that age are impressionable. Whether it's a ploy to get their folks to vote a particular way, yes, probably, but children are impressionable and can be easily swayed from a figure, a teacher figure.
Right.
I don't know. That's dangerous. Teachers are there to teach the writing, arithmetic.
Right. Reading, writing, and ciphering.
I don't need someone preaching to my children about their ideology.
No,
their beliefs.
And don't get me wrong, I'm all for civics, but I don't know as you need to be advocating for a particular candidate to middle school students. Mm-hmm. But it's typical. And like I said, I'm sure this teacher is now, you know, wailing, and there's much gnashing of teeth. And Hawaii's a blue state anyway, so, you know, this does not surprise
that
me.
That it but, is. You know. Well, John, while we're waiting.
Oh, see if they call back in.
On the phones to light up. I did want to bring this up. And a congratulations to you. I don't have my applause button anywhere, so I will. That's my golf clap right there into the microphone. John, elected chair of the Sedgwick County Republican Party on this past Thursday.
Yep,
so congratulations to you on this.
Yep.
And so enlighten us a little bit about this. So this is a. How long is the term?
They're 2-year terms.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So Thursday night, every county's, well, every, this is a Sedgwick County GOP, mm-hmm. but everyone is doing these reorgs. They have to happen depending on when. Some of them wait until a little bit after, but in Sedgwick County, we do it pretty quickly after the November election.
Okay.
Everyone is doing their reorg. In this case, Deb Lucia, who we've had on the show many times, chose not to run. And so, you know, I sat down originally. There were, I don't know, 4 slates, but you know, so Johnson County used to be reliably, well, not reliably, but fairly red. And then one of the things that happened is there was a big fight amongst factions within Johnson County Republicans. They fractured, they split, they started fighting, and that was a way for Democrats to get in there, and it helped to cause the Democrat Party to gain such a foothold is because the Republicans weren't united. They were fighting amongst themselves. It's sort of what happened in Scotland. You know, the clans would fight amongst themselves and the English made it easier for the English to.
Right.
Right. Okay. So the same thing happened in Johnson County. And I started hearing of these stories about there are 3 or 4 different groups that are trying to vie for leadership in the Sedgwick County Republican Party. And So I reached out to Brian Fry, who was thinking about it, and Kim Gish, who was working on possibly a slate. And I said, well, why don't we partner up and put together one ourselves? We even reached out to Gary Bond, who also had a slate. Mm-hmm. Gary did not want to go that route. He didn't want to partner up, which is fine. That's, mm-hmm. you know, his choice.
Sure.
And so we put together a slate. We brought Jenna Howerton, who is a Pettit now. I keep forgetting she's newly married, relatively married, newly married. So, but the four of us then put together our slate. And in the end, nobody ran against us. So we were unopposed, but it was great. I mean, we had about 150 of the 200 or so precinct people show up. And, yep. So now I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but what we will do with it rather.
Okay. So what are your goals, in doing this? Now, I'm sure that you had something in mind when you got this. All put together, but what are your goals for the next 2 years?
Well, I mean, we've got some basic things, like there are dozens of open precinct positions that we need to fill, because that's the grassroots base. That's the folks that when a candidate is going to run for office, he goes to the precinct people first to hold a meet and greet in their home, or help him door knock, or get to know people in the neighborhoods. So we need to fill those positions. But more importantly, I think we all know we've got next year, we've got city council races, yes. some school board races that we have to win. And, you know, I think, you know, I've had Diane Albert on the show. I've had Kathy Bond. And I think, you know, I'm adamantly opposed to the school bond.
Yes.
But I'm adamantly 100% behind reelecting the three Republicans who are on the Wichita school board. I can disagree with them on an issue and still want to get them reelected. We need Republicans on that school board.
We do.
Yes. We need Republicans on every school board in Sedgwick County. And then they're going to be city council. There's a city council seat that comes up next year. We need a Republican on that seat. We desperately need to take out Mike Hoheisel. That district's not a Democrat district. We need a good Republican to beat him. And then in 2 years, the road to the governor's mansion is going to come through Sedgwick County. That will be ground zero for the next governor's race. And I've worked on the last two gubernatorial campaigns. I've been intimately involved in two campaigns. I know how that works and I know what it's going to take. And I think that's what my main focus is. I'm tired of losing governor's races.
Well, especially when we have a supermajority in both the House and the Senate.
Yeah.
And it's there.
We have not lost the governor's race. We've given it away. Mm-hmm. Laura Kelly never got 50%. She never got what Trump got. She, you know, Laura Kelly never got a majority. She's always lost the popular vote, for lack of a better term. That tells me that Republicans aren't coming together to support our nominees. So what we have to do down here in Sedgwick County, and statewide for that matter, is we have to get behind our nominees. Mm-hmm. So that'll be my focus. That'll be the number one goal coming mm-hmm. forward, is beat Democrats, raise money. And that's what I told them Thursday night. I said, you know, my two goals, raise money, beat Democrats.
Right. Quickly, not to name names or anything like that, but so your position as the Sedgwick County Republican Party chair, mm-hmm. will you have some influence or helping to steer candidates for the governorship in 2 years? Or is that something?
I mean, I know who's toying with it. I think we all kind of have theories. We've heard, you know, people who are interested. I think there's a lot of people, and I'm sure that we'll see. It wouldn't surprise me if Scott Schwab is interested, okay. and yeah. Ty Masterson might be interested. I've heard some other names. You know, I would, who knows, maybe Mike Pompeo will run. You never know. Right. But as in my capacity as chair of the Sedgwick County Republican Party, I have to support them all. Mm-hmm. Can't pick winners and losers. Can't, you know, now once we get to the general, I'm all in but in the primary, I have to stay out of it.
Of course.
So, yeah. 100%.
Ultimately, we want the Republican.
There you go. I'll go up against any Democrat, though. They got a D behind their name. They're a target, baby. Bring them on. So we'll take a quick break, and then when we come back, it's going to be fun taking all the Democrats. When we come back, we'll talk with Danielle Underwood from Kansans for Life. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Folks, if you're looking to get involved in grassroots activism, Americans for Prosperity Kansas is one of the best ways to make a difference. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. And of course, while you're online, don't forget to follow and like the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, this last election cycle, speaking of Americans for Prosperity, AFP Kansas reached more than 200,000 Kansans across the state. Think of that, 200,000 Kansans through door knocking, calls, as well as digital and mail campaigns. AFP Kansas was able to support candidates who will drive economic progress, cut regulatory red tape, and grow access to the right kind of freedom of choice healthcare. This is why I say if you want to make your voice heard, you need to work with AFP Kansas. With us now to tell us about their efforts this last cycle and what they're hoping to, you know, maybe accomplish this next session is Elizabeth Patton with Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Elizabeth, nice to have you back on the show, my friend.
Thank you. And thank you for the invitation. Glad to be here.
Well, that's, I didn't realize that number that until I saw that press release, 200,000 people. I mean, I knew you guys were doing a lot of door knocking and a lot of outreach, but holy cow, that's a lot of doors. Yep.
That's a lot of doors. It was a lot of doors. I am so proud of that number, and we couldn't have done it without our volunteers and our staff. And I know you and Marlena helped a ton, and it's just every door matters, and those conversations matter. And we feel like that was such a big difference, something that we just do a little differently. Not that other people don't knock doors, but we had a lot of doors, and that's a lot of that's a lot of the focus of what we think makes a huge difference and cuts through the noise of all of the mail and digital, which we also do. But it's those conversations that really matter.
Yeah, it does. And having the systems in place, the apparatus that can organize it makes a big difference. You can door knock. I mean, I know candidates that, you know, oh, I get my information from the voter office and I download my voter ID and then I just go knocking. That's not as effective as targeted voter analytics. And that I know how you guys work. Trust me. I know the system and that makes such a difference to have targeted voters. If people haven't done it, they don't understand what I'm talking about, but literally you can go down a street and you're not doing every house. You know exactly right. What you're doing.
Right. It's targeted. It's strategic. And we're trying to make the most of everybody's time. And that matters. And we're trying to talk to the right people and have the right conversations. And it has made for some incredible stories that we've had over the election cycle and been able to answer questions and educate folks on what's really going on. And you and I both know, like, you talk about what's really going on, but so much in the media doesn't, right?
Right.
I mean, we can send out press releases all the time and they don't tell our story all that often. But when we're able to go door to door and have those conversations with folks, we're able to talk about what we see under the dome and at the Capitol and why, you know, what they hear about with the votes and what goes on is sometimes different than the reality. And we get to talk about that. That matters.
We're talking with Elizabeth Patton from Americans for Prosperity Kansas. And, you know, it's funny that you say that we talk about what matters. There's still in media outlets that are particularly the left and the mainstream media outlets in some of the newspapers that are talking about the things that it's like they didn't learn from this election. They still talking about some of the race and the woke, you know, they don't realize that the issues that mattered most to voters were immigration, particularly like with some of President Trump's right. appointments. They're not realizing right. the tax cuts, spending. I mean, I just saw again today, Laura Kelly tweeted about the importance of Medicaid expansion. And I really wanted to respond to her and say, didn't you spend $2 million and your only win was defeating your own minority leader?
I mean,
you know.
That was it. That that was it. That was her only win. Her only win was making somebody who didn't even work across the aisle all that often, but occasionally would have those conversations.
Right.
But you know, sending him packing as well as some others, and that's really sad.
Yeah,
it's sad to me.
It's kind of laughable. She spent upwards of $3 million, and she all she did was actually lose 3 House seats and 2 Senate seats. I mean, it's, you know, with those kind of numbers, most people get fired.
Right. Know, oh, absolutely. And I'll tell you, we never had anybody talk to us about Medicaid expansion before, and they just, it did not come up. And I just am amazed at that. But you're right. People are concerned about the cost of living in our state, and we have solutions ready to go to make our state a place where we can live, work, thrive, and be here for the long term. And, you know, it's like people are right. We don't have the kind of mountains in Colorado, and we don't have a beach, but Kansas is fantastic. And, you know, we also don't need to have the highest taxes in the region and have, you know, government spending. We don't need to be the most governed state per capita in the contiguous United States. That right. is a silly, that's a silly place to be.
Well, you're right. We do need to, I mean, we have a great place to live, but we need to be able to afford to stay here.
Correct.
And you know, another thing I never heard when I was knocking, my wife was knocking, we never heard people say, you know what we really need? We want the Chiefs here, and we should build them a new stadium.
Well,
I mean, I'm sorry. I know there are a lot of people who liked it, but I've got a lot of allies on both sides of this issue. But you know what I mean. And I like, I don't get me wrong. If they come, that's great. I just don't sure. know I'm trying to stay out of that issue, but I never heard anybody clamoring for it at the doors is my point.
No, they weren't. That wasn't a make or break issue for voters at all.
It was cool. Don't get me wrong. It was cool. People sure. liked the idea. And if they come, great. But it wasn't a major issue. Nobody was voting on that issue.
No.
So now
that was not informing that at all. No,
now that we've got this super majority, what do you want to see them do with it?
Yeah, what I'd love to see them do with it is, you know, what they've already started, I'm so proud of them, is they have already started taking the budget kind of back from the office of the governor and making some strides to reset what that looks like. And I think that's an incredible step in the right direction to make sure that we are being smart and efficient with taxpayer dollars. And that is so possible. You know, state government has ballooned in size over 60% in the last 12 years, and it doesn't need to be that big. We can find those efficiencies, and state government can still operate well. Those two things are not mutually exclusive. So I hope that that budget process continues and the legislature is able to find those efficiencies and eliminate waste, which is what voters want. We know number one. Number two, I'd like to continue a path down smart tax reductions for Kansans to make sure they get to keep more of their hard-earned money. I want to see continued efforts towards making sure we have lower energy costs. We're still really high on energy costs in the region. And we want to make it easy to do business here and get a job here and have lots of innovative jobs and have companies eager to come here. And a lot of what that looks like can be things like regulatory sandboxes. That doesn't cost taxpayers any money at all, but it's opening up the opportunity for folks who have some really cool ideas for our state and being open for business.
Well,
so eliminating some of that red tape.
I know that you guys will be there bringing attention to it. I'm sure we will have you on the show multiple times as we go into next session. One thing I want to encourage my listeners, you know, I mentioned in the monologue, I talked about this. It's a small thing. I know I've harped on it before about the $500,000 porta potties that the city of Wichita is thinking of doing, but it's so indicative of just this kind of nonsense. And Councilmember Dalton Glasscock just texted me and he said, if people want to start getting active, invite them to their city council meeting, which is coming up Tuesday night, the 19th at 6 p.m., because they need conservative support. And that's the kind of stuff that you guys help to do. But we need to, you know, we need to be involved as conservatives. If we're not loud, the left gets loud. We need to get loud.
And you're exactly right. You know, the left is loud.
Yep.
And as we saw in the election, like, they're not in the majority here in our state.
No.
But it is imperative that folks are not complacent, they're not apathetic, and they make their voices heard, because they can't assume that elected officials just know where they stand. They have to provide that support and make sure that they are contacting their elected officials and letting them know either thank you or no, this is what we want you to do. We want you to be more efficient and not wasteful with taxpayer dollars, et cetera, et cetera. Those things matter greatly. Yep. And absolutely, go to your city council meetings, get involved, be a part of the solution. And it doesn't have to be hard. It can be very simple, a few small things, but one voice, one email, it can make a big difference.
Yeah, we can't afford to be the silent majority anymore, because they're too loud. They may be the minority, but they're a loud minority.
They
Elizabeth, if folks want to get involved, if they want to volunteer, if they want to get activated, the best way is AmericansForProsperity.org, and then on social media, correct?
It is. It absolutely is. Find us on Instagram, X, or on Facebook, and reach out that way, or go to our website and sign up to volunteer. And we just are opening a new office in Wichita. So be on the lookout for an open house around the holidays, where we'll be able to, you can come meet some of our staff down there, and we'll have a good opportunity to get involved and know what's coming. But please let us know you want to help and sign up to volunteer, reach out on social media, and we'd love to connect with you and give you some good things that make a huge difference.
Fantastic, Elizabeth. Thank you again, and I doubt I'll talk to you before. I might talk, but if not, I wish you a very happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
Oh, yeah. Happy Thanksgiving. Have a blessed week, and we'll talk soon.
You too. Thank you. Carry on the fight. We'll take a quick break, and then Danielle Underwood from Kansans for Life will be with us. We'll have a similar conversation, talk about the wins from the election and what they're hoping that they can get accomplished with this brand new supermajority. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Thrilled to have you with us this evening. Phil, I'm going to get complaints, just so you know. I know they're going to say it's not been Thanksgiving yet.
You're the front man in this operation. You signed up for this.
That is true. That is true. I am the front man on this one. So, yeah, we had two great, I mean, there are lots of organizations that facilitate our election results every election cycle. Obviously, the folks that we just had on, Americans for Prosperity, the folks at the Kansas State Rifle Association. But another one of those great organizations that help to move our mission forward is Kansans for Life. They not only put out a voter guide, I know a lot of folks that take that voter guide with them to the polls, and that's an essential tool that they use to help educate them on candidates. But they also do advocacy. They're phenomenal and in their work and in their messaging. With us now is Danielle Underwood from Kansans for Life. Danielle, thank you for joining us. It's always nice to have you on the show, my friend.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thank you so much. But I do have to be your first complainer. Are you serious? Christmas music?
See, I told John? You. I told you. Now, see,
I looked at my calendar. Thanksgiving is next week.
No, I'm sorry. It's already on in my car on Sirius XM. And wow. Yeah, I know. What can I say? Don't be a Grinch. We should make, okay, you know what we're playing on the out music for this guest? Yes, you know what we're playing. Yeah, play it for me on the way out.
Oh, no.
Yes. Oh, yeah. New nickname. Okay. Yeah, so I don't know if you happen to hear the last segment, but we talked with Elizabeth Patton from Americans for Prosperity. And one of the issues that we talked about was the work that they did and then transitioned to what they were hoping to get. You guys were very active in the primaries and in the generals as well, trying to help candidates. But one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, we didn't see it so much down here in Sedgwick County, but when I was filling in for Mundo last week, I did hear about how nasty some of the attacks on Republican candidates up in Johnson County were on this, on the life issue. And it was just so, I mean, just nasty, vitriolic, flat out lies. It was really brutal, wasn't it?
It was brutal. It absolutely was brutal. It was just disgusting, the trash that was landing in voters' mailboxes. Yeah, I mean, things, absolute falsehoods, you know, claiming that candidates were siding with rapists and, you know, essentially that they wanted women to die. I mean, just these utterly unbelievable. And you know, for the voter, they became unbelievable. They were that factor. They pushed themselves over the edge. And I think the voters woke up to that and absolutely rejected those crazy, like you said, vitriolic, extreme messages that the Democrats were pushing to try to elect their candidates. And I mean, it goes all the way to the top, of course. I mean,
Oh, yeah. We
saw the utter rebuke that Americans gave to Kamala Harris and the Democrat Party and their obsession with unlimited abortion. And I think they finally understood that we were not being hyperbolic, that they truly were pushing for unlimited abortion all through 9 months.
Right.
Paid for with tax dollars. It's like it finally clicked for them that that's truly what they were wanting. So
well,
it's, you know,
no, I was going to say, and conversely, nobody on our side has been pushing for bans. They love to say that Donald Trump was pushing for bans. That I know that some of the candidates, that was the messaging that Republicans in Kansas are going to be. I mean, it's first off, it's settled here, sadly, because of our courts. But that was part of the lies that we were seeing. I talked to one state rep in Johnson County who said that they had 11 mailers against them in one day that came in. I mean, you and I both know that's, you get diminishing returns with mail anyway, but with that many in one day, that's just nonsense. Nobody's going to read that. What are they thinking?
Yeah, they poured millions of dollars into these campaigns. And, you know, Governor Laura Kelly, her PAC, $2 million that they were pouring into these races that they were just hoping upon hope that they could break the supermajority in the Kansas legislature. And they failed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we have to be so grateful. I mean, the biggest clue, I think, for people, when the DNC went so far as to provide free abortions at their convention.
Yes, I remember that.
It is gross. It is gross. And that they went all in for it and they failed.
I forgot that. That's right. Outside the convention, they were doing free abortions. Oh, I forgot about that. We're talking with Danielle Underwood from Kansans for Life. So now we've got, you know, a real supermajority, because you and I both know that the numbers we had last session weren't really as good as we, because of some recalcitrants and some rhinos. Now that we've got the supermajority, what are you hoping that we can see here in this next session? Do we finally look at some kind of judicial reform, maybe finally tackling something like direct election for our judges, that kind of thing? What do you think we could finally tackle?
Well, we typically don't come out with that stuff if people want to know that.
I talked to Speaker Hawkins. I asked him that. He said it's possible.
So what I think what we do need to say is make plans right now to come to the March and Rally for Life on January 29th.
That's good.
That's when we bring our agenda to the people and we say, this is our plan for this session. And the last two sessions, we've had amazing, amazing results. You know, we have 7 veto overrides for life affirming protections that we were able to pass. It's 2 historic sessions back to back. And like you said, we had that razor thin margin. We're so grateful. You know, it looks like we've added 2 to the Senate supermajority and 3 to the House supermajority. And wow, that's going to be so, so important to be able to hold this governor in check, to be able to keep her from really implementing her very radical agenda, regardless of what she says, you know, that she is some kind of middle of the road governor. We all know that that is not the case. So, you know, it's going to be very, very important for us to be able to continue to make progress. There is hope. There is definitely hope. And we're going to continue to keep pressing forward, and we're going to keep making gains.
You mentioned the March for Life. I know that there's a couple of other events that I know have been kind of teased. I saw some save the dates that came out. You've got an open house for the new office here in Wichita. And then there's a golf tournament that you guys are bringing back to KFL, the Wichita KFL golf tournament, correct?
That is true. We do have a golf tournament. And we also have a couple banquets coming up. So we have got all kinds of stuff that you all will want to find out about. So if you're not on our mailing list yet, you really need to be, because we always do all kinds of great events for people to gather, and where you're going to learn about what's happening and how you can get involved, how you can be part of this movement. It's a large, growing, exciting movement, because we have this beautiful mission that we are carrying on, just, you know, the generations that have gone before us, and we're carrying it into the future, and we're looking for young members too to come in and continue to carry this forward. So please, you know, make sure you jump onto our website at kfl.org, sign up to get our emails, and just check and see our calendar there, what we've got going on and what you can be a part of, because there's so many ways to get involved. And we would love to have you as part of our movement.
That's what I was looking for, was that website. If folks want information about upcoming events, or like the details on the March for Life, or your banquets, it's kfl.org, correct?
That is right, kfl.org.
Danielle, thank you again for joining us, and just keep fighting that fight, if you would, please. You're a trooper. We appreciate you.
Well, you're a trooper as well, and we appreciate everything you do, and congratulations to you, by the way.
By the way, I hear what Phil's doing in the background here for your out music. I think he's I think he's playing the Grinch music.
No,
yep.
No.
Yep, there he is. Danielle, I appreciate you as always, and you're fantastic. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, John.
We'll take a quick break. The studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to John Whitmer Show. Studio lines are open. Give us a call. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Speaking of which, we are right now signing up our sponsors for our 2025 year. Got a couple of great sponsorship opportunities. Just signed a new one. John Eck from Eck Insurance is sending us to Topeka. So once a month, we will be broadcasting live, one Sunday a month, live from Topeka. It'll be my wife's like, yeah, get out of here. Go to Topeka. So she's fine with it once a month. Didn't want me up there every week, but was fine with one Sunday a month. We'll be broadcasting live, and Eck Insurance is sending us up there. But we do have sponsorship opportunities available if you're interested. You can email me at john@knssradio.com. And, of course, you can get more information on the show at the John Whitmer Show on Facebook and True Social, and on X at John R. Whitmer. It's also the best way to get all the latest updates on the show. It's time now for another Hartman Truth Minute.
Well, now, it is time, maybe past time. Where in the world did the Dems think they could insult the masses and win an election? Okay, the shiny object didn't win. Dems will never stop giving their opinions on false claims and lies. It was a landslide victory per Reagan. Okay, here is reality. President-elect Trump must engage, as we know he will. The Honorable Mike Pompeo deserves a front-row seat in the Trump administration. His stint as Secretary of State was our nation's best. He is a real leader. I hope he is willing to serve once again. He will do our country proud. We conservatives have the wheel. We must show our mettle. Leadership is Mike Pompeo. We deserve the best of the best. Secretary Pompeo is just that leader.
Well, Mike may not be. It looks like he won't be in the next Trump administration, but who knows? Maybe he'll, you know, decide to run for governor. You never know. It could happen. Stranger things have happened. I know of about six names already that are throwing their name in. We've actually had one candidate announce, Sarah, I can't remember her, Stacey Rogers. She owns Eberly Farm. She and her family own Eberly Farm. So we already have one candidate who's already working the rope line, shall we say. So, Nick, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thank you for sticking around.
Good evening, John.
How are you, brother?
I'm wonderful. Thank you, sir, very much. I only got to listen to the last half hour of the show, but I saw KFL was on, and I'm really glad at that because I think we need to double down on that issue. You know, the only thing that's settled, in my opinion, is God's providence, and we need to look at trusting and obeying his order. It's kind of like the supreme evidence-based practice, and we've got a mercy opportunity with the election that happened. I think that it behooves us to make sure that we are getting life and family and liberty on the forefront of the burner, as well as the fiscal responsibility and everything. So
I think you're right. I we had Dan Hawkins on last week, and I've talked to Senate President Masterson as well, and I would not be surprised if they think that now is the time for us to take up judicial selection. I really do. I think you've got this supermajority. You don't want to wait too long. Why not try? And if there are Republicans in the legislature that don't want to vote for it, then let's find out, and then we can take them out at the next go around. But I think it's time to, because we're not going to make any real change until we change the way our Supreme Court justices are elected. We use the Missouri model. For those who don't know, it's very archaic. It's very elitist. I mean, you've got literally about 5,000 attorneys in the state that pick our Supreme Court justices, and it's so undemocratic.
I agree with you, and I think that the number seven potential governor candidate, when he comes out or she comes out, I think maybe they might have a better time at it. But I at least wanted to come on here and say that I appreciate you having Kansas for Life on, and just to make sure that we don't put that issue on the back burner, and keep on moving, pressing on in good faith. So God bless you, John. Thank you for your show. We appreciate everything you do.
Appreciate you, brother. Appreciate you, my friends. You know, it's interesting. That judicial selection could very well be. I know I've talked to Blake Carpenter, my good friend Blake. By the way, Blake gave my nomination speech on Thursday. A special thank you to him. One of the things in politics, you just, dear friends and people you can trust are a rarity. And Blake and Dan Hawkins are a couple of those for me. And I Dan Hawkins endorsed our slate early on, and Blake did too. And it was really nice to have the two of them there and supporting us. So, all righty, folks. Next week, regular show. In the meantime, carry on, fellow garbage dwellers.